Let's open our Bibles today, please, to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. And today we want to look into the Word of God to learn how to profit from the Word of God. This is sermon number 3 in a series of messages taken through the book of James. And I remind you again today, if you want to benefit the maximum that God wants you to receive from this series of studies in the book of James, I'm asking you to read through the book of James at least once each week over the course of these 12 weeks. It'll take you just a few minutes each week to do so. And certainly it would be to your advantage spiritually if you would spend some time focusing in on the passage, which is for our consideration each Sunday. And you have already been given the breakdown of the sermon series. But our text today is James chapter 1. And we'll begin with verse 19 and read through verse 27. The end of the chapter as we think together how to profit from God's Word. Verse 19, "Dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the Word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Never has God's Word been more available than it is today. And that is certainly true of those of us who are a part of this Lakeview Church Fellowship. The average Lakeview member possesses several Bibles. And there is a diversity of Bibles available for our study in this generation. There is a diversity of translations. For many years, the only translation we knew was the King James Version. But now, in the last few decades, there has been a proliferation of versions. There was the Revised Version, and then the Revised Standard Version, and now there's the New Revised Standard Version. There's the New International Version, which is my preference. There's the New American Standard Bible. We have the Living Bible, the Good News Bible, the Jerusalem Bible, the Phillips Translation, and on we can go when it comes to translations. Then there is a variety of bindings for our Bibles. There's hardback and paperback and clothback and leather bound. Then Bibles come in a variety of sizes. Some Bibles are as large as an unabridged dictionary. And yet I'm told that the entirety of the Word of God can be placed on one frame of microfilm. There is diversity in the kinds of study editions of the Bible. There is the Scofield Reference Bible. There's the Oxford Annotated Bible, which I used in college. There is the Disciple Study Bible. There is the Ryrie Study Bible. And many, many more when it comes to varieties of Bibles. In fact, this morning I just looked around in my study and I counted that I personally own 24 copies of the Word of God. Now, the Bible is a profitable book, but it's not profitable to us if it remains on our shelves. Nor is it profitable to us if we simply use the Word of God for the accumulation of biblical content, facts, dates, names, places, events. No, the secret of profiting from God's Word is found in obeying God's Word. And in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27, we find some principles. In fact, three principles, which I want us to examine this morning, which help us to profit from God's Word. Now, the Scripture says we will be blessed if we do what the Word commands us to do. The Bible can be beneficial in your life, but only if we do it according to the teaching set forth therein. So what are these three principles? Well, the first one we find in verses 19, 20, and 21. If you want to profit personally, if you want to be benefited in your spiritual life from the Word of God, the first step, the first principle to remember is this. We must receive God's Word. Look in verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil which is so prevalent, and humbly accept the Word planted in you. We must accept the Word. We must receive the Word if we're going to be profited by the Word. Now, the word translated in our English version, accept, is a word of hospitality. It is a word of welcome. It's a word that says, come on in. And we ought to say to the Word of God, come on into my life and transform me and make me like Jesus. And you'll notice in that phrase in verse 21 where James says, accept the Word planted in you. The word planted is a word of agriculture or horticulture. The Word of God is to be planted in the heart of the child of God if it will benefit us. Now, sometimes the Word of God, which is planted in the child of God's heart, does not produce fruit. And yet in someone else's life, it does produce fruit. Have you ever wondered why? I believe we find an answer to that in the parable of the soils that the Lord Jesus gave. You know, Jesus said to man, the sower went out to sow, and some of the seed fell on good soil, and some fell on poor soil. And that which fell on good soil produced a harvest, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Some of you will remember when we were landscaping this campus here. And before we laid all the sod out there, we went to great lengths to dig up the roots and the limbs and the sticks and the rocks and to rake that dirt so that when we placed the sod out there, it would send its roots down to the soil and it would establish itself and grow. Now, it would have been a lot simpler just throw the sod out there and not worry with digging up all the rocks and the roots and the stones. Now, the same thing is true when it comes to the Word of God. Two people come to a worship service on a Sunday morning. One man goes out of there and he said, I didn't get a thing out of that sermon. Another one comes out and said, boy, I really got blessed today. God spoke to my heart today. Now, why do you think one was blessed and the other was not blessed? Because of the preparation of the heart. One prepared his heart for worship. One prepared himself to receive from God. And another did not prepare himself. Now, the Scripture tells us if we want to profit from the Word of God, the first step is that we must accept the Word. We must welcome this Word into our hearts. Now, how are we going to do that? How does a Christian go about accepting or welcoming God's Word into his heart? Well, there's some qualities that need to be found in the life of a person who can accept God's Word. And there are four that I've listed for you there in your outline, but I want us to look with me now in verses 19 and 20 and 21 as we look at these four qualities which are essential if you are going to receive God's Word and thereby profit from God's Word. Number one is a controlled tongue. Now look in verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. If you're going to profit from God's Word and receive God's Word, you have to have a controlled tongue. That means you need to have a listening ear. Zeno, the Stoic philosopher, said, we have two ears and one mouth, therefore we should listen twice as much as we speak. The ancient Jewish rabbis picked up on this and did him one better. They said, men have two ears and one tongue, that they should hear more than they speak. The ears, they said, are always open, ever ready to receive instruction. But the tongue is surrounded by a double row of teeth to hedge it in and to keep it within proper bounds. And so the Bible says we are to be quick to listen, ready to listen, and slow to speak. Now, if you're going to receive God's Word in your heart, in your spirit, you must listen to the Word of God in your private prayer time. Do you spend most of your time telling God what you want Him to do for you? Or do you spend a little time letting God tell you what He wants you to do? When you come to the Lord's house on the Lord's Day, do you come to visit and socialize and try to hide it from the pastor? Or do you come with an open heart, an open mind, and an open copy of the Word of God as the pastor tries to expound to you the principles and the precepts found in the pages of Holy Scripture. If you want to receive from the Word of God, you must first of all learn to control your tongue. Now, you know, this business of communicating the Word of God becomes increasingly difficult. It's a lot harder for me now to communicate God's Word than when I first started out 20 years ago. You see, we are such a visually oriented society now. And you folks are used to what the mass media does, the television with the 10-second, the 15-second sound bites, and one image comes on the screen, and then another, and then another, and then another. And that's what you live with all week, and I come in here on Sunday morning, and I've got 45 minutes, and I can't flash those images up there. And so communication is increasingly difficult for those of us today who try to expound the Word of God. Now, you will help me preach to you, and you will help yourself profit from the Word of God if you'll come with an open heart, with a mind, with an ear that's open to what the Lord has to say to you through His Word. Now, the next difficulty here, or the next essential quality that we need to have in our lives if we want to receive the Word of God is a calm spirit. A controlled tongue is important, but so is a calm spirit. Now look in verse 19 again. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. That's the controlled tongue. And slow to become angry. That's the calm spirit. You know, I was told the other day that when we listen, our blood pressure drops. And when we speak, our blood pressure goes up. Now, God says if you're going to profit from the Word, you must be slow to become angry. What's the emotional status of your household about 9:15 on Sunday morning? Now, be honest. Is it a sea of calm? Or is it almost war? Now, I don't have to deal with that. I come to worship at 6 o'clock every Sunday and have for years and years, so I don't know what it's like in my household. But I know in most places, it's rush, rush, rush. Hurry up. Get in the automobile. Speed to worship. You come in late. The choir's already sung. There's already been two hymns sung. You come in, you sit down, you're angry because somebody, your wife or your husband or your son or your daughter, all of you made each other late, and you come in, you're stewing your juices, and you plop down and you say, okay, God, speak to me through the preacher today. Now, the Bible says we are to be slow to become angry. If you have an angry spirit, you'll never be teachable. A calm spirit is an essential component in receiving the Word of God. A calm spirit, a controlled tongue, number three, a clean heart. Look in verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Now, this word translated moral filth is the word from which we get the word earwax. You know, that stuff that gets in your ears, you have to dig it out with Q-tips every few days or so. It's kind of gross to think about it, but that's exactly what it means. And if you let enough earwax build up in your ears, it will affect your ability to hear audible, spoken words. In the same way, if you let moral filth build up in your heart, it will affect your ability to hear from God. And if you want to receive God's Word, then you must have a clean heart. That means no unconfessed sin. Now let me ask you this. Do you have a dirty heart today? Is there in your life some area of your life which is unsurrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Is there some attitude, some habit, some practice that goes on in your life that you know is not pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ? Then don't expect to profit from the Word of God and to receive the Word of God. What does the Scripture say about it? Look in verse 21. Get rid of all moral filth. Now, when I was a child, sometimes I'd come in from play in the afternoon, and I'd be dirty and muddy, and my shoes would have mud on them, and I'd try to come in the back door through the kitchen, and I'd hear my mother say, "Son, don't you track those muddy shoes across my clean kitchen floor." And I knew if I wanted to come inside, I had to take those muddy tennis shoes off. Then I could come in. Now friends, if you and I are going to have fellowship with God, if we're going to be intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to come with a clean heart. No unconfessed sin. The Scripture says, get rid of all moral filth. We're talking about receiving the Word of God. And we've said if we're going to receive the Word of God, we need to have a clean heart. We need to have a calm spirit. We need to have a controlled tongue. But there's a fourth essential which would be helpful in receiving God's Word, and that is to have a compliant attitude. Look in verse 21. Not only are we to get rid of all moral filth, but we're also to humbly accept the Word planted in you. I underscore that word in your thinking there, the word humbly accept the Word. That means be teachable. Now, when I say be teachable, I simply mean be willing to be changed by the Word of God as the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and applies it to your life. Don't be a know-it-all. Don't come to God's Word and just come sitting in judgment on the Word, but come under the authority of the Word and ask the Spirit of God to teach you. Say to the Lord in prayer, Lord, what do you want me to learn this day from this portion of your Word? Four essential qualities. Controlled tongue, a calm spirit, a clean heart, and a compliant attitude. And if you'll manifest these four qualities in your life, you will go find yourself going a long way in receiving the Word of God. But if you're going to profit from the Word of God, you must do more than receive the Word of God. Secondly, you must reflect on God's Word. Now, we find here in verses 23, 24, and 25 that God's Word is like a mirror. Look in verse 23. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. You see, the Bible says that the Word of God is like a mirror. Now, have you ever thought about the purpose of a mirror? Why do we have mirrors? If you could put it in one word, what would you say is the purpose of a mirror? How about this word? How about evaluation? We have mirrors to help us evaluate ourselves. Now, I expect that every one of us, without exception, found here today, before we came to worship today, we spent some time looking into a mirror. Why? Just to evaluate the damage done from the night before. A mirror reflects our likeness, our image. And so God says His Word is like a mirror. Now, as a mirror reflects what you and I are like on the outside, the Word of God reflects what you and I are like on the inside. Hold your place in James chapter 1 and turn back just a few pages to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We're talking about reflecting on the Word of God. And we said that the Word of God is like a mirror in that it reflects who we are on the inside. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is living. It's alive. It's active. Sharper than a double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. You see, the Word of God is like a judge. It exposes us. And that's why so many folk don't want to get close to the Word of God, why they don't want to come to hear the Word of God proclaimed, why they don't want to read the Word of God on a regular basis, is because if they get too close to the Word of God, it exposes the sinfulness of their hearts. And so the Bible is like a mirror for us to reveal to us who we are. Now let's go back to James chapter 1. How are you and I to profit from the Word of God? By reflecting on His Word, by letting His Word reflect into our lives. Now let me give you three ways that will help you to do that. Number one, read the Word of God. Look in verse 25. Verse 25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Now, the perfect law that gives freedom is the Word of God. The man who looks intently into the perfect law. That means one, a person who reads the Word of God, who looks at the Word of God. It literally means one who researches the Word of God. It is the word which was used to describe what Simon Peter did when he went to the garden tomb where the body of Jesus had been placed and the tomb was empty. And the scripture says that he went inside and he stuck his head inside the tomb and he gazed upon the tomb and he saw that it was empty. That's what it means. So we're going to profit from the Word of God. We must read the Word of God. We're going to know it. We've got to read it. We must spend time with it. Isn't it remarkable that so many folks who name the name of Jesus Christ and who are active members of a church like this literally spend more time with Dear Abby in the daily newspaper or the daily sports page than they do in the Word of God? Now let me ask you this. How many of you believe everything you read in the newspaper? Raise your hand. You believe everything that's in there is true. Raise your hand. Anybody? Not a single one of us believes everything we read in the newspaper. How many of you believe everything you read in the Word of God? You believe the Bible to be true in every detail, okay? Now, isn't it amazing? We spend more time reading that which we say we don't believe than we do in reading that which we say that we do believe. How can we profit from the Word of God if we don't spend time in the Word of God? Now, I don't know what it's going to be like at the Bema Seat Judgment. I know we're going to get our rewards and all that. But I wonder how you would feel and what you would say to the Lord if when you see Him face to face at the Bema Seat, He says something to you like this. What'd you think about my book? And you just kind of hang your head in shame and say, well, you know, I read a few verses here and a few chapters there, and when Brother Al preached on it, I read that portion. But Lord, I have to confess, though you gave me 85 years of life, I never got around to reading it through in its entirety. You see, this book is a book of life. And if we will profit from it, we must know it. Now, how can we read it? How can we study? There's so many different ways to do it. You can, if you read through just 4 or 5 chapters a day, you can read through the entire Word of God in 1 year. There are many ways to study. You can do a book study. You can do a topical study or a doctrinal study or a character study. And when you come to the Word of God, you ought to come with a teachable spirit. You ought to look for God to speak to you in His Word. There may be a sin to confess or a promise to claim. There are over 7,000 promises in the Word of God for you and I to claim for ourselves. There are commands to obey and prayers to pray and attitudes in our lives that need to be changed, mistakes and errors to avoid, a truth to believe, something about God to learn, an example to follow. But all of that will come to us only as we open the pages of this book and search those pages and read it for ourselves. So if we're going to profit from the Word of God, we must read the Word of God. Is it a priority in your life? How many minutes a day do you give to the reading of the Word of God? But not only to read it, we must review it. Look in verse 25 again. But the man who looks intently, that is, he reads it, he researches it, he studies it, intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Now notice this next phrase. And continues to do so. That means to review it, to not let up, to persevere, to press on. It means to think about it, to meditate upon it. We're to meditate upon the Word of God. Now, what does it mean to meditate on God's Word? It means to think about it over and over and over again. You read it, you put it aside for a while, you bring back that portion again, you think about it, you put it aside, you bring it back again and think about it some more. This word meditation doesn't mean contemplating the lint in your navel. It means that you concentrate on the issue at hand, whatever that may be. You know, so many folks have the idea that meditation means you just sort of put your mind in neutral and let it go where it wants to go. Well, that may be somebody's understanding of meditation, but that is not meditation on the Word of God. To meditate on the Word of God is to take a verse or a phrase or a paragraph of the Word of God and to contemplate it over and over, to think about it. Now, let me ask you this. Do you know how to worry? Do you know how to worry? If you know how to worry, you can meditate. You see, what is worry? It is just simply thinking negative thoughts over and over and over again. That's what worry is. Now, meditation on the Word of God is to think positive thoughts about the Word of God again and again and again. We review the Word of God if we're going to profit from the Word of God. Now, when you come to Lakeview on Sunday morning, there's a little sermon synopsis outline there in your bulletin. Now, why are those provided for you? Well, one reason is to help you as you listen, to follow along, and to stay in place with me. But that's not the only reason. A second reason is to aid you in reviewing the Word that we discussed in the service. So that when you go home this afternoon or tomorrow or sometime next week or maybe several sometimes next week, you may pull out that outline and the notes that you've taken on that and review it in your own quiet time and think through what you've heard in the Word of God as it's been proclaimed from this pulpit. We're talking about reflecting on the Word of God. It means we read it. It means we review it. And number three, it means we remember it. Look in verse 25 again. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard. God wants us to remember the Word. That means to memorize God's Word. One of the greatest spiritual disciplines that any Christian can practice is that of committing to memory portions of the Word of God. You say, well, I'm too old to remember. I could remember when I was in grammar school, but I'm middle-aged or I'm retired and I can't remember anymore. Listen, friends, we remember what's important to us. Some here today can remember Auburn football scores going back 20, 30, 40 years. You can remember certain plays. You can remember certain things that happened at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Some of you can remember the batting average of the Atlanta Braves baseball team. You could tell me right now who's batting what. Some of you know the earned run average of the pitchers for the Atlanta Braves. You see, we remember that which is important to us, and the reason that we don't memorize the Word of God is it doesn't have a high priority in our lives. The psalmist said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And the Word of God is a power source. It is spiritual dynamite in our lives to give us victory over temptation. Now, as we're thinking this morning about how to profit from the Word of God, we've said, first of all, that we must receive the Word of God. And secondly, we must reflect on the Word of God. But if we merely receive God's Word and reflect upon God's Word and we stop there and don't go any further, we will not profit from the Word of God. We may have the accumulation of Bible information. You may be able to discuss the finer points of some kind of systematic theology. But if you just stop with receiving and reflecting on the Word of God, you'll never profit from God's Word. Because you see, we must go one step farther, and that is to respond to the Word of God. Look in verse 22. This is the key verse in this passage. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Now, folks, this is the nitty-gritty right here. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we get down to business. You see, it's not how many theological degrees you have, how many study courses you finished. It's not even how many times you've been through the Word of God, though you ought to go through the Word of God again and again. But has the Word of God gotten in your heart? You see, the Bible is like a mirror. But a mirror is no good to me unless I do something about what the mirror reveals to me. If I look into a mirror and discover that I need to shave my face or comb my hair and I don't do that, then the mirror has not benefited me. And if I just glance at the Word of God, if I come in and say, okay, God, I'm in a hurry today. I got a full schedule today. I've just got 5 minutes to give you today. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Then you've got to just speak to me and that, and I'm going to be out of here because I've got a lot to do today. Then don't expect to receive much from God. The Word must be received, and then it must be obeyed. And if we don't obey the Word of God, we simply deceive ourselves. It's not information we're looking for, folks. It's transformation of our character. It's not knowledge, it's maturity that counts. Now don't tell me how many diplomas you got going to some Bible college. Has it made a difference in the way you live? That's the critical issue right there, folks. Let's say you have a sickness of some sort. So you call up the doctor. The doctor says, come into the office and let me take a look at you. So you come in and, you know, you stick your tongue out and say, ah, and all that stuff. And he listens to your heart through his stethoscope and takes your blood pressure and a few other things and says, now this is what you have. And he gives you some name that only doctors know what he's talking about, and I guess pharmacists. And he writes your prescription. You go down to the local drugstore and you give them the prescription and they fill the prescription and give it to you. Then you take it home and put it in your medicine cabinet. Never bother to take one of those pills. How much good is it going to do you? Not at all. Now you can pull the bottle out and look at it and read the prescription, read the doctor's name, read the name of the drugstore. You do it 50 times a day, but it won't do you a bit of good. If you want to be benefited by the medicine in the bottle, you've got to get the medicine out of the bottle into your system. You've got to act on it. And the scripture says, don't just merely listen to the word. Do what it says. If you're going to be benefited and prodded in the Word of God, you and I must obey His holy Word. And yet some folks come to the study of the Word of God kind of like a fellow who may go to a very nice restaurant and just sit there and spend 3 hours reading the menu. You don't go to a restaurant, friends, to read the menu. You go to the restaurant to eat the food. We don't go to the Word of God just to read it, just to absorb it, but we go to the Word of God to allow the Spirit of God to take that book and transform our very lives. And when he says here in verse 22, do not merely listen to the Word. The word translated listen is the same word from which we get our word auditor. Most of here somewhere along the way have audited a college or university or seminary class. When you audit a class, you have no responsibilities. You just show up, you listen. You take no tests, you do no research papers, you receive no credit, you just relax and absorb it. No responsibility. Tragically, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are far too many who are simply auditors. They come week by week to the study of God's Word. They come to hear the Word proclaimed in this pulpit, but they don't do anything about what they hear. Let me ask you this. Last Sunday morning in James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, I explained to you from that passage of Scripture how to conquer temptation. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But how many of you who were here last week and heard me explain from the Word how to overcome or conquer temptation, put those principles into your life and lived in victory this week over the temptations of Satan and of the sinful heart? Are you an auditor? Do you just come to have your ears tickled? Or do you come with a teachable heart that says, Spirit of God, transform me. I want to be like Jesus. This is not just a book of information, folks. This is a book of life. This is spiritual dynamite. This book will transform us if we will obey the Word. What if some of you had some concern about your pastor's physical welfare? Came to me and said, Brother Al, we notice you're getting a little bit flabby around the belt. Well, that'd be an honest observation. And we believe you'd be benefited if you'd just take care of your body. So we got together and we purchased a copy of this bodybuilding book. And we want to give it to you. Let it guide you. Suppose 6 months later, I came back and said to you something like this. Why, I'm so thankful you're concerned about my physical health. And I do appreciate you purchasing this copy of this bodybuilding book. And I want you to know that ever since you gave me this book, that I have read it, I have reviewed it, I have reflected upon it. I have studied it. I have gone through it several times. There are even portions of it I've underlined with colored markers so I could remember the good portions. I have committed to memory parts of this bodybuilding book. In fact, when I come in from work, every afternoon, the first thing I do is I go by the refrigerator and pick up some chips and dips and a couple of Cokes and a few sandwiches. I go to my easy chair, I take out my bodybuilding book, and I spend 2 hours every night reading my bodybuilding book. I want you to know I'm thankful for my bodybuilding book. You get the point, don't you? This is not just a book of information. I mean, who cares what happened to the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the Jebusites, unless it transforms the way you and I live and think and relate to our spouses and our children and our neighbors and those with whom we work. It's not just a book of facts and information, it's a book of life. The question is not, have you mastered the Word of God, but have you allowed the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and master your own life? The best translation of the Bible I know is the Living Bible. By that I don't mean the paraphrase by Ken Taylor. I mean the Bible that you and I live out day by day in this community as we express the life of Christ in our lives. John 13, Jesus said, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you..." Write them down in a notebook. Did he say that? Not at all. Jesus said, now that you know these things, now that you've heard this truth, you will be blessed if you do them. What is maturity in the life of the Christian? Obeying God. What is the goal of the life of the Christian? To glorify God by obeying His commands. How are you doing obeying God's Word? You see, for many of us, we already have more Bible information than we're living up to. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning your life. Are you thanking God in every circumstance? The Bible says, love your enemies. Are you demonstrating love for those who are your adversaries? The Bible says, bring the tithe, that is the first 10% of your income, to the storehouse. How many of you are tithing? How many of you are living up to that bit of biblical information? The Bible says we are to witness to unbelievers. How are you doing in witnessing to folks that you know that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, the problem for many of us is we don't even live up to the information we already have. If you want to profit from the Word of God, you must obey His Word. As He says in verse 22, do what it says. Now in verses 26 and 27, He gives us three examples of how to respond. And all three are examples of doing the Word. And I'm not going to spend much time here because these examples surface again in this book of James. And so we'll deal with it in more detail in a later sermon. But first of all is the example of our speech. Verse 26, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. You see, God says we're to do the Word by the speech that we use. We're to keep a tight rein on our tongue. The second example, verse 27, is the example of service. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. We do the Word by serving needy people. You ever known somebody that had a need? You had the wherewithal to meet that need. You didn't meet that need. The Bible says, to him that knows to do good and who doesn't do it, to that person it's sin. We obey the Word by our speech, by our service, and then finally by separation from this world. Look in the last part of verse 27. And to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now the world means that worldly system which is opposed to God and all that's good. We're to find ourselves in the world. We live in the world, but we don't have their standards. We don't march to their tune. We have a different standard, a higher standard, and a different tune. We march to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to be separate from the world. How do we do the Word of God? By our speech, by our separation, and by our service. This book, the Holy Bible, is unlike any other book, folks. But it will profit us only as we obey its commands. Let's bow and pray together.